Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by South Florida head coach Chris Mack as part of our new coaches series. And Chris, welcome. How do you keep upgrading your climate?
Very, very steadily, huh, John?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Did you think you would leave Charleston after just 2 years?
No, I mean, it was never really the plan. You know, left a really, really good place. You know, Matt Roberts is one of the best athletic directors in the country. And, you know, it was a really tough decision. I've been moving my son around a lot, you know, and, you know, for us to come here to Tampa had to be a special situation. I just feel like we're on the precipice of really great things here. Our CEO of athletics, Rob Higgins, is one of a kind. And there are a lot of good reasons and great factors that led me here. But certainly anytime you move your family, you know, it's a tough decision.
What can you do at South Florida that you couldn't do at Charleston?
Well, I don't know if there's anything that you couldn't do at Charleston. You know, I think for me, I just feel like South Florida, as I said before, Rob is an amazing athletic director. I think he's got a great vision for the program. They've won two of the last three American Conference championships. The revenue sharing is terrific. Obviously, we know that really, really matters in today's day and age.
Yep.
I just felt like with a lot of the stars being aligned, it was the right move for me and my family, and have not regretted it since.
You know, Chris, Brian Hodgson, your predecessor, took South Florida to the NCAA tournament last year. Amir Abdur-Rahim, may he rest in peace, did a great job at South Florida when he was the head coach. How much did looking at those head coaches that had success in the past couple of years reaffirm that South Florida was a place that you wanted to coach at?
Well, I certainly think it, you know, makes you tilt your head and, you know, wonder why, you know, what's in the water here, so to speak. And Amir did an unreal job in the year that he took over the program, you know, because historically, you know, South Florida basketball, number one, hasn't been around very long, but number two, hasn't had a sustained success for a long period of time. And then you look at what Brian did in 1 year. And, you know, for us, it was about, you know, being here more than a year or so. I wanted this to be a destination job for me, for my staff. I felt like all the resources that are in place here allow it to be. And I just think that anytime you've had past success doesn't indicate or predict, a little bit like the stock market, future success. But it certainly shows that there's something in the water here. And I'm a wholehearted believer in this place. And what it represents and what it can be.
You know, the American Conference had one team in the NCAA tournament last year, the same as the CAA where you came from. Were you apprehensive about making a jump and uprooting your family from a conference that was a one-bid league to another conference that was a one-bid league?
Yeah, one bid this past season. You know, I don't think historically the American Conference has been a one-bid league. You know, I think South Florida, had they not won the conference tournament, certainly weren't very far off from getting an at-large bid, John. And so that really spoke to me. You know, I felt like if a few of the programs in the American do what they're able to do historically, then this won't be a one-bid league. The fact is the tournament's going to 76 teams. It'll give teams a better chance of becoming an NCAA tournament team. We're going to schedule that way in the non-conference to give ourselves the best opportunity to be an at-large team. And, you know, the American Conference Championship is played here in Tampa at the Yuengling Center this coming year and next year. So, again, NCAA tournament's great. We want to have sustained success. I really feel like we can do that here at USF.
Well, you mentioned the importance of scheduling, which now, especially with 76 teams in the NCAA tournament, the goalposts have moved a bit. What are your plans for your first non-conference schedule in 26-27?
We've got some good ones. You know, I'm not at liberty to start revealing. You know, I know the NFL just released their schedule the other day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we certainly want to schedule heavy. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, year in, year out, John, we give ourselves a chance to be an at-large team. You know, we're going to schedule as many Power Four teams as we possibly can. You know, those teams that we buy, they have to be one of the better teams in their low major, mid-major conference. For us, we want to make sure that our schedule puts us in position to get an at-large bid if we're successful enough.
Chris, South Florida is a program, as I mentioned, that was in the NCAA tournament, and it's a program, again, that is now in place to be the flagship program in this conference, along with Memphis. But you also came from places, not just Charleston, but Louisville and Xavier, that have rich basketball traditions. What from these experiences that you have at these tradition-rich programs are you going to incorporate now into South Florida?
I think the most important thing, John, is people. You know, getting good people on your staff, that's where it starts. I think if your players are going to be everyday guys that live your culture, that do an incredible job of giving great effort, you know, regardless of the circumstances, you have to have a staff that you believe in. And so, you know, I've made some great hires over the years. I've made some mistakes over the years. I think, you know, we're all a function of our experiences. And so I put together a staff that has either played for me at one particular time in their career or coached with me for a very long time. I feel like we have an incredible connected staff, and I think that'll do wonders for our players.
And the older all of us get, we make better decisions. We're more seasoned. We have better perspective. Yeah. You had an interesting time during your coaching career because you got something that a lot of coaches don't get in this profession. You had a couple of years off. What was that time like for you?
Pretty relaxing, to be honest with you. It was fun watching guys like you and some of my former colleagues and now current colleagues. You know, I visited quite a few of them. I had the opportunity to go visit Bob Ritchie at Furman, spend a couple days with their staff, did the same thing with Kelvin Sampson at Houston. And I think when you go around and you see how different programs and coaches operate, I think it does two things, John. I think number one, it sort of validates what you do as a coach and what you really believe in. But I also think that if you're flexible and you see things that you like, you start to take a little piece of everybody and try to incorporate in your program and what works best for you. And I'm incredibly thankful for those experiences. I think they've made me a better coach. And the time away was awesome.
One thing that's really difficult in this profession, and I see it all over the place, is to balance the job, especially now with the demands of the transfer portal and raising money, with having a family. How much during that time off were you able to reconnect with your family for more extended periods of time than you would have had when you were coaching?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I had a lot more time to spend. And, you know, my daughters were both in volleyball, and they still are, but they're at the college level, so they're out of the house. I have a fifth grader left in the house. And, you know, I've always tried, you know, even when I was an assistant coach and head coach, whether it was Xavier, Louisville, Charleston, I've tried to always incorporate what we do, you know, for our job with my family, you know. So whether it was taking my kids on the road to recruiting trips or taking them on a, you know, a media day, you name it, I've always tried to do that because my kids don't necessarily have the same experience I did when I grew up, where, you know, your dad would be your coach and say soccer or not hold baseball. And so I've tried to. They've gotten some great experiences, man, being in the tunnel at certain arenas and people they get to meet. My son met you last year at the Final Four. I mean, that doesn't happen with a lot of kids. So there's a lot of give and take, but certainly the demands are heavy. The portal has changed a lot of things, but I'm grateful to be back in and look forward to many great times here at USF.
From the first few months on the job, how does being the head coach at South Florida compare to being the head coach at Charleston or being the head coach at Louisville or being the head coach at Xavier?
You know, I think no matter where you're at, you know, you sort of get in that boardroom or you get in the coaching offices and you huddle as a staff and figure out, like, what do we got to get better at? What do we need to do today? And for us, we got here by the time we really got our feet under us, John, we had zero players on the roster. So we've worked incredibly hard. I give my staff a ton of credit for doing a lot of background work, for getting the right people. I think we have a very talented team coming in, some unproven guys. We have great balance in our classes. You know, we're not, you know, 12 seniors with, you know, all of them being 23 years or older. I mean, we've got great balance on our roster. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be new. It's going to be exciting. I've never played in the American Conference or coached in it. And so there's always going to be a learning experience, but we're excited to get going.
Chris, you took Xavier to the Elite Eight. You also took Xavier to a one seed in the NCAA tournament. You coached at a blue blood program in Louisville. And now it almost feels like, because of the era that we're in with the transfer portal, with NIL, that the talent base is just spread out a little bit more across the board. is it more invigorating to coach a program like a South Florida or any program that may not be a blue blood? Because if you have resources, you have more of an equal chance to put together a roster that can advance in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. I mean, certainly you can all of a sudden have a program, John. I mean, years ago, like to get 15 players in a matter of 5 or 6 weeks is just unheard of. I remember the years of, you know, we would recruit a kid for 6 to 9 months and then get a no at the very end, or, you know, recruit him for a year and a half and get a no at the very end. So I also, though, really enjoyed the experience of having a freshman become a sophomore and watching him go from minimally used as a freshman to being like an all-conference player as a junior and senior. And so retention is a big thing for us. And so hopefully every year at this time, it's not wholesale changes and wholesale substitutions like you have to when you first take over a program. Because even if we don't return our best player, if we can return guys that know what we're about, care what we're about, and spread the message of what we're about within that locker room, then I think we'll be better because of it.
You had a lot of experiences at Xavier and Louisville, but one thing you did not experience during your time there was the pressure of coaching in a mid-major conference tournament. What was that like?
Well, it wasn't great this past year. We got our clocks wrong. Give Towson and Pat Scarry all the credit in the world. But, no, you're right. It really does not matter. You know, whatever kind of regular season you had, you know, it all came down to a few games. And so there's a lot of pressure, but, you know, we understand that as coaches and players. I mean, I think you're built for pressure. You live in that world every single day, whether it's in recruit or whether it's on the court. So, we fell short and it was tough, but I love it when you're on the floor and you're competing for it.
Chris, what are the main impressions you have of the roster that you've put together for year one at South Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said before, John, we have really good balance among the classes. I think we've got some terrific guard play, some guys that are going to be seniors that have done it at a high level, at their respective schools. I think Sonny Wilson's a guy that is going to be a really tough challenge for a lot of guards in the American Conference. But all the way throughout our roster, John, I think we wanted to stress guys that could shoot, pass, and dribble literally at all five positions. Think about basketball 15, 20 years ago when the center position relatively hung around the basket, either posted or guarded the post player. And now with so much four out, one in, and five out, just felt like it was really important that we got guys that were very, very skilled. And so I think we'll be able to spread the floor. But I think it always starts with our ability to defend, finish the possession, and get on the break.
Chris, I'm really fascinated in all my years doing this, how coaches always hold on to their tough losses more than they appreciate their great wins. So for you, for Chris Mack, give me one win during your career that stands out from the rest, and give me one tough loss that you can't shake.
Well, I'll give you, So I'll say this, that we were up, 23 points with about 8 minutes to go against Duke in the Yum Center.
Zion, I remember.
Zion, RJ Barrett. And if you ever go back on YouTube, when we're up 23, we take an ill-advised shot. But they gave Zion a couple and-ones, John, that I think they felt sorry for Duke, if you could ever possibly believe that, in that moment. And that allowed them to get a little momentum. And, that was one of the hardest losses we've ever had as a competitor, as a coach, watching the guys in the locker room. And then flip it, because a year later we played at Cameron. It was a matchup of two top 10 programs, and I think everybody thought we would get our, clocks handed to us and our heads handed to us on a platter. And we came out and jumped out to a big lead and ended up winning that game. Malik Williams capped it off with a dunk at the end. It was College Game Day, ESPN. Couldn't have been a bigger scene. So it was, I would say those two games right there stick out pretty memorably.
Chris, give me one recruit that you desperately wanted that you came up short with.
Matt Howard. Howard at Butler. John, I was watching him in an event at Warren Central High School in Indianapolis. He was on the Spieth Indy Gym Rats.
Yeah.
Three-quarter court pass. He goes up to catch it, a little bit like Christian Laettner, goes up to catch it. and without doing anything, just like literally looks one way, tips it to the other, you know, tips it the other way to a guy in full stride for a layup. And it wasn't end of the game or anything, but just to have the presence of mind, I was like, man, I love that dude. And so I recruited him and recruited him and recruited him. Anyway, found out that he was only going to go to wherever Zach Hahn went. And we didn't recruit Zach Hahn. Zach goes to Butler, and Matt said, well, I'm going to Butler. And I thought we had Matt Howard because everyone in his family comes from a large family. Every one of them was a Cincinnati Reds fan. And last time I checked, the Cincinnati Reds were in Cincinnati, not Indianapolis, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, what a player he was, too. A linchpin on those two teams that went to the national title game back-to-back years in the Horizon League. Well, let's wrap on this. South Florida is nationally relevant. They played in the NCAA tournament last year. Their head coach just got the Providence job. How do you keep South Florida in the conversation to be one of the best non-Power Four programs in college basketball next year in your first season?
Well, I think scheduling has a lot to do with it. You know, you have an opportunity to play some teams that have some meat on their bones and people have a lot of respect for. So, you know, we have a return series game with Alabama. I think we've got a couple other neutral site games that will be really eye-opening around the country. And, you know, that's where it starts. And then I think the commitment level from our administration, John. I mentioned before, the CEO of athletics, Rob Higgins, he wants men's basketball to be great. And so that's the charge. The history has shown that we can be here over the last 3 years, and we want to continue marching that direction.
Well, Chris, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Congratulations on the job. I think it's an excellent fit. And as always, look forward to staying connected with you along the way.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, John.
You got it. That's South Florida head coach Chris Mack. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball.